Good morning, church. Good morning. Oh my, that was weak. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good. Okay, so 2020, big year, new decade. Look what I got. We gonna make some noise up in here. Reverend Catherine gave me this. I thought that was so neat. So, the reason I have these clappers is just so that we can express our joy and also our recognition to a message. If you hear something that resonates with you, it's easy to just go like that. So, that's why we have those clappers. So, this whole month, we have been reviewing the foundation of Science of Mind, and it's been happening across the world with all of the centers. So this last Sunday of the month, what I get to do is I get to wrap everything up for you this morning. But before I do that, I don't know why I'm having, this morning I have a really dry throat, so excuse me. So the first Sunday of the month, we did the thing itself. The thing itself is actually the limitless power that's at our disposal. It's divine. It is the divine nature that's in every person. Reverend Laurie spoke about this. And the universe never plays favorites. When it rains on everybody. When the sun is out, the sun shines on everybody. And the second week, the way it works, we talk Reverend Ron reminded us that we are all the captains of our own ship and that we have the power to control our own destiny, and we do it through what we believe and what we expect, just like our reading said. It is done unto us as we believe. Our thoughts are actually things. They are actually creative. And that power and presence in the universe works on our thoughts. And I'm going to talk more about that. And then last week, Reverend Kate talks about what it does. And she shared with us, what you see is what you get. So if you don't like me, then that's too bad, because that's all you get is what you see. She really didn't say that. But she talked about how two individuals could look at the same thing and walk away with different stories about what they saw. And that's because our thoughts give us our reality. And no two people will have the same reality. And that's awesome. So today, I'm going to be wrapping it up on how to use it. But before I get into how to use it, I want to talk about what it is. What it is actually the law of mind. Ernest Holmes states, when dealing with the power of mind and spirit, we are dealing with the fluent force. And he made this statement because the law is infinite. It is right here where we are all the time. It never stops. It's always at work. It's available to us, and we're using it. Whether you're using it consciously or unconsciously, you are using it. This universal creative mind receives the imprint of our thoughts and then acts upon it. So this is what that means. So the mind is entirely impersonal, neutral, and plastic. It is a subconscious to our thoughts, which means that its nature is to create the pattern of our thought. That's its nature, just to create. So when you're thinking, the law is at work creating. No matter what those thoughts are, or no matter who the thinker is, the law is at work. Now, when things don't work for us, it's not because you're being punished by God. There are some thoughts that say God's punishing you. It's actually you're failing to use the law constructively. The law is at work. Nobody's punishing you. What's going on in your head is punishing you. It is around us and willing to take thought. Thank you. Through the imprint of whatever we're thinking. We can use it to create freedom. We can have joy instead of tears, gladness instead of sorrow, peace instead of disturbance, success instead of failure, and life instead of death. And a lot of people walk around feeling dead inside. But the law, the thinking, changing your thinking can change your life. Now, we cannot change the nature of the law. The law is just that way. But what we can do is change who we are. We can change our being. We can act and we can think differently. Now, this is what I really found interesting. The law is compelled to take the color of our dominant thought and create after that pattern. So, and this is really important to understand, because a lot of times we'll say, I want financial freedom. But the dominant thought is poverty. We will say, I want to be in a loving relationship. But the dominant thought is that there's nobody out there for me. The law is going to operate on the dominant thought. So what we have to get in the habit of doing is switching whatever we have that we don't want to the back, and then bringing what we want to the front, making it the dominant thought. The good news is that we can change our mind and conditions all the time. They never have to stay the same. Now that I've talked about what it is, I want to talk about how we actually go about using it. We have to be conscious all the time that we're working with a law. We're not hoping about something. We're not wishing about something. It is a law. It works all the time. I have not gotten out of my bed in 67 years and floated to the ceiling. Gravity is a law. It works all the time. Okay? This is a law. It works all the time, y'all. I love the reading when Butterworth said, you do not receive what you want. You do not receive what you pray for. You don't even receive what you have faith in. You will always receive what you actually expect. Now, let me be clear. When your expectation lines up with your faith, then you can say, yeah, I'm going to get what I have faith in. Okay? So it's not saying that if you have faith in something, it won't come. What it's saying is that you have to also have a powerful expectation that it's going to show up. So when a woman is pregnant, what do we say? She's expecting. We don't say, oh, she's hoping for a baby. She's praying for a baby. No, she's expecting. Something's going on in the invisible, deep inside. She could be flat, say, oh, I'm pregnant. We know something's going on in the invisible. There's a law at work. And we say she's expecting. And we know that law is going to continue working. We don't know how it works. She don't even know how it works. But all of a sudden, boom, another human being pops out. The law works. We can do the same thing with anything in our life that we desire. So let's talk about how we do that. Knowing what to do. So the first step for me in using the law is to formulate the idea of what I desire. When I was a young girl, I spent hours in a hobby shop. I used to make ceramics, and I used mold, and I used liquid clay called slip. And the first thing that I had to do is I had to decide what it is I wanted to create. I couldn't just, like, wish it into being, because there were hundreds of molds in the hobby shop. So I had to figure out, okay, what do I want to create? And then I would go and I would find the mold of what I wanted to create. I had to be very specific. If I wanted to make an African mask, I didn't just go and pick up an Oriental mask and say, oh, it's a mask. I'm going to get an African mask. No, it had to be specific and have those characteristics of an African mask. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard this story about how when I retired, I wanted to travel and I wanted to speak. So I would run around saying, all I want to do is travel and run my mouth. All I want to do is travel and run my mouth. So I had, there was a mole. I was creating this mole called Travel and Run My Mouth, okay? And I met this lady who had her own company, and she was like, yeah, you could do that. And I started traveling and running my mouth for her, but I forgot to say I want to get paid. So I didn't make very much money. When I poured that slip into the mole, I expected to get from that, out of that mole, what it formed, what was inside of it. Now, it's funny because when you pour that clay into that mole, you have to wait for it to set. You can't pour the clay, the liquid clay in there and then just pull the mole apart, because you're not going to have what you want. So once we have, we know what we want, we create that mold, we pour our thoughts into it, we have to wait. We have to wait on the law to work. So now, hold the idea in consciousness until it becomes a reality. That becomes a challenge for us, because we live in an instant gratification world. We want everything yesterday. So people always say, well, I treated and it didn't show up. And, well, when did you treat? Last week. And it's not here yet. You have to hold it in consciousness. And a lot of times when you're holding it in consciousness, something is happening with you. You're beginning to shift your way of being, your way of thinking. Because you will get what it is you expect. So as you're holding this in consciousness, guess what? Your actions are beginning to change. How you interact with others is beginning to change. We exercise very little patience in our society. I'm talking about me. I don't know about you, right? That's my biggest challenge, is to be patient. Psalms 130 verse 5 says, I wait on the Lord, my soul doeth wait, and in his word do I hope. What it's saying is that I will wait on the law to work, because I know, I expect that it's going to work for me. Ernest Holmes puts it this way, work with expectancy until you get results. It works when we believe and expect that it does. Work conscientiously and thoroughly and leave the results to the law, which is perfect. Put whole trust in the law of good. Deny anything that contradicts your truth. In the African American community, there's a saying, they say, the devil is a lie. What they're saying is that whatever you're saying, that's not true. I'm not going to accept that. And that's why they say the devil is a lie. That is not my truth. I'm not going to hold that. Also in the African American community, women used to, and they probably still do, fast and pray until they get the result that they wanted. They had an expectation, but they would fast and they would pray. The fasting always kept them conscious, because when you are hungry, you are conscious. Okay? You are. So when I deny myself food, I'm focused on what it is I want. And then praying, I'm expecting, I'm holding a consciousness, I'm in joint connection with God. Miracles would happen. Well, what people would call miracles, but it's actually just the law at work. And some women were so powerful with that, they would tell their kids, okay, don't make me drop to my knees. Because that means if I drop to my knees, whatever you're doing, it's going to stop. And you're going to have consequences. And that is the truth. Because whatever we expect and we hold it in consciousness, the law is going to go to work. Because the law is impersonal. It doesn't care about who you are. It cares about what your thoughts are. It's a law, and it's a law that's a good law. It's always going to operate. So the third is learn to follow directions. Now, There are three kinds of people in this world. The person who doesn't want to be bothered with directions. I have a demonstration here. See this? My sister is always giving me these neat gadgets. This is a desk. This is a tray. This is a desk that you can put on top of your desk and make it to hold your computer. I love it. So when I received it in the mail, I called her up and I was all excited. And I was like, thank you for that. She was like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, why? It's amazing. She said, because I can't figure it out. Did you read the directions? No. Now, come on. The only person that could use this is the designer or the person who built it without reading the directions. And I just burst out laughing. She spent hours trying to figure this thing out. Just read the directions. I read the directions and it was just, oh, I had a ball with it. So I bought that. So that's the first kind of person. They don't want to be bothered reading the directions. How many of you like that in here? Come on now, tell the truth. Okay. The second kind of person believes that they don't need directions. I got this. I don't need directions. I must have been about 19 years old, and I came home one Christmas Eve after partying with my friends, hanging out, and my mother was in a panic. She was in a panic because I had a little sister who was like 3 years old. And my mother had purchased her a tricycle, and the tricycle needed to be put together. And when I came in, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm hungover, right? And she's like, oh my God, you got to put this tricycle together. I'm like, okay, no problem, fine. She said, no, no, you don't understand. Cliff, who is her husband, my stepfather, he put it together already. And I was like, okay. Cliff had one tool. It was called a hammer. One tool. He put everything together with a hammer. She opened my bedroom door and it was this little bike. It was like this. Handlebars going this way, wheels going that way. There's no way this baby could ride that bike. I just burst out laughing. She was not laughing. You gotta fix this. I had to reverse engineer this bike. Now he hammered the stuff on to the bike. So I had to like pry the bike loose. I got it back together, but it wasn't right because the parts he couldn't use, he just threw away. That's extra. I don't need that. So the bike was a little better. She could at least ride it, right? But that's the second kind of person. I don't need directions. I can do this myself, okay? Then there's the third type of person who follows directions. How many of you like that? You know? Follow directions, read them clearly, make sure all the parts are there. That's who I am. I have all kind of IKEA furniture in my house that I put together. I take the time to read the directions, and it looks beautiful, and it's functional. So those are the three types of people. What kind of person are you? We have to all get to a place where we follow the directions. Okay. We give you directions every Sunday. 52 weeks of the year, we're giving you directions. We give you directions by telling you to get a vision of what you desire in life. So last week we had this neat activity where we made journals. And I have extra journals for those of you who weren't here and would like a journal. This is a vision journal. It's just a blank journal, but you get to put in it whatever it is you choose to have. Pictures, writings, whatever. But it's your place to hold your vision, to help you hold the vision. Once you get a vision, meditate upon what it is you desire. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go in a cave and sit there forever and close your eyes and go in. No. All it means is that you keep your focus on that vision. We do it every Sunday morning. You come in here and we go through meditation, teaching you how to meditate. All of the people who run meditation have different techniques that they use. So there's a whole wealth of ways you can meditate. The first time I meditated, I thought I was going to die because I just was like trying to lay there still and not move anything. That is not going to happen. All we have to do is still our mind. So use affirmations to stay focused. The last Sunday of the year, Reverend Catherine had us go through a cleansing activity, and then she gave us sacred stones to write an affirmation on and to keep that affirmation. I did that activity in 2018 for 2019, and on my affirmation, I had faith and trust because I was writing my dissertation, and I wanted to have the faith that I could write that dissertation no matter what was going on and trust that spirit, the law, would give me exactly what I needed for that to happen. And it did. It happened. January 20th, I put it in the mail, y'all. Woo! Study and master the information so it can become internalized. Reverend Lori Max talked today about the foundation class. We're always having workshops or classes so that you can start internalizing the information. Yes, you can come here on Sundays and you can listen, but you need to internalize it. It needs to become a part of who you are. We get people ask the ministers all the time, you know, how do you do treatments and how do you do what you do and do you stay focused? All of us have devotional time. We all have practices that we have put in place. I get up in the morning, I read, I journal, I sit for a little while, and I do it no matter where I am. If I'm traveling or if I'm home, I engage in this practice. Now, for years, I couldn't journal. I hated to journal. But the way I got into the habit is my church in Oakland, we had the 40-day abundance program, where you had to journal every day for 40 days. If you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. If you do something for 40 days, it becomes a behavior. And so journaling became a behavior for me. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I journal for a long, long time. I don't. I have different journals. I have a journal for my general life. I have a journal if I want something specific. Then I have a treatment journal. So each one of these journals serves a different purpose, and it keeps me focused on what it is that I want in my life. You have to stay committed to your desire no matter what. When we begin to manifest, the universe goes to work, and we can't always see what's going on because it's happening in the invisible. We have to have faith that it's happening, even though it's happening out of our sight. No matter what it is you desire, be bold about it. Do not allow your thoughts to get in the way and say, oh, I can't have that, you know, that's too big, or whatever reason, whatever limiting thought you may have, remove it. I want to end by telling you this. There is a key to personal freedom and living the life that you love. If you're truly serious about manifesting what you desire in your life, you have to change your thinking. That's the first thing. And when you change your thinking, your behavior begins to change. You have to remove the information from the past. What we try to do is put new information on top of all this other old information, and we have chaos. How many got in your mind? Just chaotic. And you can't figure out why the news not sticking, because you have it on top of all of this stuff that needs to be moved away. We need to clear our minds out. Don't be afraid to step out and be bold when you manifest. It's okay. The more bolder you are, the universe will go to work in a bigger way. 26 years ago, I was in a dark place in life, and I took a class through Landmark Education, and one of my teachers gave me an affirmation. I wanted to have a relationship, and so she gave me a vision statement. This is the vision statement. I got this vision statement 26 years ago, and I laminated it and put it in my house. And what began to happen is that I began to shift and change and to become what was on this paper. I started to become that which what I wanted. 26 years. Now, I'm kind of slow. Took a long time, y'all. Yeah. But in December 2015, I made a decision. I said, I am ready for a long-term committed relationship. I made that decision after doing all this personal work for so long. And I pulled out a journal and I started writing. I had a specific vision of what I wanted because it was on this paper. So I knew exactly what I wanted. Then I started eliminating all the thoughts that were coming in. You don't go out, how are you going to meet somebody? You know, there are no good men in the world. All the thoughts started eliminating. I focused on people that I see that have what I want. I'm going to call them out. Jay and Sandy, first time I walked into the center, I think they were celebrating like their 50th anniversary or something. I was like, I want what you got. Okay? I started focusing on people, Larry and Elaine, Comrade and Pat, Maddie and Harold. I started looking at couples and stopped looking at single people. I want to look at them. That's who I am. Let me look at these other people. And then I got to work. And this something happened. A man showed up in my life, December 2019. And many of you met him. His name is Vernon. He came here to the center. A wonderful man who has all of these attributes. It's amazing. So I am living proof that you can have that which you desire. So now I'm working on financial wealth, right? Millionaire, billionaire, somewhere in there. Got a journal for it. I want to say, in closing, you have to change your vision. 2020 is a great time to shift your vision. Let's go to 2020 vision, this new decade, and let's begin manifesting the best life that you want to have. Thank you.
That was great.